Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
Hello, I'm Richard Hattersley, and welcome to No Account of a Taste, a podcast for accountants from accountweb.co.uk. In this episode, we're talking all about the budget. Yes, on the 3rd of March, Chancellor Rishi Sunak unveiled extensions to the coronavirus support schemes and even some added complications to corporation tax and the introduction of a new super deduction. We'll be talking about all of these initiatives and the leaks with our guest today. So up first is AccountingWeb's Editor-in-Chief, John Stockdyke. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome, Richard, and thanks for having me. It's great, you know, the budget, the experience that just doesn't stop giving.
And in Accountant's Corner today is a friend of AccountingWeb and a veteran of budgets of past. It is, of course, the partner at Burton Sweet. It's Nigel Harris. Hi, Nigel.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's great to reminisce about budgets past and present.
So I think that's a good place to start then, Nigel. 3rd of March, how was the budget for you? What was budget day like?
Well, I think it's budgets have become less and less exciting over the years. So much of the budget is leaked in advance. Although I have to say, there did seem to be a few more surprises this year. I can remember a few years ago when John and the rest of the team, when I was more involved with the accounting web writing, we used to write virtually the whole budget write-up before the speech, and there were very few surprises. There were a few more surprises this year, admittedly, things like the super deduction. If it had been leaked, I hadn't seen that. But not quite so many surprises, and I think most of us are expecting a second budget in the autumn, so it does feel a bit like a halfway measure.
It's a bit like when they broke up the Lord of the Rings films and just spread them across into three films just to get full maximum impact out of the occasion. John, how about yourself? Budget as frantic and busy, as frenzied as ever, I'm sure.
We worked. I mean, it was frantic and busy for us, obviously, because we had the unique experience that Nigel's probably used to in the old days of sort of running it as a virtual operation. I was on the live, or no, we shared the live blog duty, didn't we? We were sort of running this document, God, for more than a week before the budget, and it was just a parade of all the different leaks. So I remember, I think, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, we thought, well, we got the Sunday press ones on Monday, but they just kept coming. You know, there were a few more things confirmed the final morning. The Times became a bit of a bugbear of mine because it seemed like every Treasury measure was just, you know, the minute that the political editor of the Times announced it, you thought, well, tick that one off, it's coming. But yeah, so the leaks kept on going right through to Wednesday morning. And then it was back to the sort of usual literal. We didn't have quite the same amount of banter in the live blog. I think we had some technical problems with that last year, so we abandoned that this year. I think we, and Nigel, that's usually where you make your appearance in the gossip. It's all a bit of froth, but we had feedback that people missed the jibes and the jokes about his tie and, you know, giving scores to the various punchlines. You know, Sunak definitely avoided the Philip Hammond joke-a-thon.
That was a disappointment, wasn't it?
I
do miss the live budget bingo cards that we used to fill in together.
But I guess this year it wasn't a time for levity, and you know, it was a very sober and austere, you know, not austere, that's the wrong word, but sober and kind of considered. You know, it wasn't a time for levity. And as Richard's indicated, there was a bit of a sense of a rerun. You know, I kind of was quipping that it was going to be the coronavirus too. You know, the support goes on, and so that dominated everything. And I think perhaps the lack of excitement stemmed from the fact that so much was going to be, you know, all the kind of, not all, but a lot of the more intractable tax problems and reform ideas will definitely be pushed back for consultation over the summer and and presented in their sort of more active form in November.
Exactly. We seem to have a lot of proposed consultations, although, you know, this government's record on consultations isn't great. The approach appears to be we announce there's going to be a consultation and then we announce what we were going to do anyway. But thanks very much. Or maybe you don't even get a thanks very much. So we are expecting some sort of reform of capital gains tax, I suppose. I'm not sure whether that's wishful thinking of the likes of Richard Murphy and the other tax economists, but we shall wait and see on that. There did just seem to be a lot of gaps in the budget announcement, didn't there? We're running a webinar for our clients later this week, and I asked one of my colleagues to do a section on personal and capital taxes, and he said, well, that's just about one sentence, isn't it? You know, nothing's changed. I'm guessing something will change sooner or later this year, but quite what, we don't know. As John said, it's the focus was on the coronavirus support, business support, which is all great, for which we're all very grateful, but we kind of feel there's a storm brewing, don't we?
Well, let's get into the specifics then. I think in one of the previous podcasts, we kind of predicted that this budget would be kind of Rishi Sunak singing his greatest hits. It's his greatest hits tour, this budget, and really was in many ways. We had all of his star performances, the furlough, the self-employed income support scheme, the VAT 5% holiday, although there's going to be some tweaks to that as well. So it was very much a coronavirus support heavy budget, as we could have expected. Nigel, anything that particularly surprised you about any of these, or was it just as expected that the furlough would be extended, the self-employed grants would be coming as well?
Sadly, yes, there weren't any surprises, were there? It was what we were hoping for. I'm not sure whether we were hoping for it or expecting it. As John was saying, so much of it had been leaked in advance, hadn't it, that we were all just sat waiting to find out when we were going to be able to claim the self-employed grants rather than whether we were going to get them at all. So it is just a whole panoply of giveaways, isn't it, and tax breaks. And we can only fantasize at this stage about what Freeports are going to involve, but we're all looking forward to those.
Nigel, on the morning of the announcement, when the leaks were coming in thick and fast, certainly around the furlough extension, the one response which we had overwhelmingly on our Any Answers forum was, oh no, not this again, it's going to keep going on and on. And others were saying, I'm definitely charging up in my fees now. So there was a sense of fatigue around these support schemes, but I suppose that's to be expected, seeing as it's been part of our lives for the past 12 months.
Exactly. I mean, I know it's been a huge challenge for particularly payroll providers. You know, we've typically found that making the furlough claims and the calculations can double the time it takes to run a weekly or monthly payroll. And inevitably, that's a cost that's got to be passed on to the clients. So at the time that they're getting all these subsidies, they're having to pay us more to claim them. You know, and I think accountants who have thought initially they were going to absorb all those costs internally will be rueing the day, or perhaps they've changed their policy now. But we've stood firm on that, and we said, look, you know, it's unavoidable extra time. You're going to get this free money, but you're going to have to pay us to do the claim if you don't want to do it yourself. Self-employed seems to be much easier. A lot of the other grants are more tick box exercises.
Although Rebecca Cave, our tax editor, was gnashing her teeth a bit about the SEISS, fourth and fifth grants. I think it's the fifth one, because again, the civil servants, they can't resist tinkering. Yeah, exactly. I guess the tinkering was to try and bring in people that might have missed out on because of the date threshold for the first few SEISS grants. You know, people who'd started in business after 2019 were left in the cold. So yes, they'll get their tax returns in this year, so they can now qualify for the next two. But the kind of assessment of the impact on their turnover, which Rebecca was still trying to resolve, because you don't actually put your turnover on the tax. You know, the tax is based on your profits. So, yeah, so exactly. she's still concerned about the mechanics there, and it's just kind of tinkering, which you know is just so endemic to the whole tax system that they've just spread it to the support mechanisms as well.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, haven't you? That it's very welcome, as you say, that if you filed a 1920 return, you're now going to qualify. So that's a big tick. And then just as we were getting towards the end of the notes there and saying, yeah, this is good, tick, 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 as you say, they suddenly introduce this extra test. It's got to be measured against a drop in your turnover. I guess turnover is easier for a client to quickly measure than his profit, but nonetheless, it's an extra test. You know, how exactly are we going to calculate it? Whilst we've got some relief and some encouragement there, we've got another degree of uncertainty that we're all going to have to get our heads around, or at least we're going to have to wait for Rebecca to work it out and tell us what to do.
So we had the coronavirus schemes there. Let's look at some of the other announcements. The one which we'll take a look at first is how the Chancellor announced a freeze of the personal tax. Nigel, I know this was an announcement which many had said was perhaps not in the spirit of the Conservative manifesto, but the Chancellor reasoned why he decided to do this. What was your thoughts about this?
I suppose I wasn't greatly surprised. Of all the announcements, I suppose personally it was the least offensive of them. I don't know about the semantics of whether it's a tax increase or not, and whether that plays to Tory voters or not. But it didn't seem an unreasonable thing to do in the current circumstances. So, you know, I'm not losing too much sleep over that one.
Yeah, again, it's sort of theater. I think Ken Clark I heard on the radio on Budget Morning saying, you know, if you haven't got a pretext and a reason for increasing the tax rates now, you know, when will you ever have one? You know, this might as well bite the bullet if you are going to do it. So it's just that weird PR driven habit of let's do it so people don't really notice so much. And the freezes, they kind of went freeze crazy. You know, the CGT, when I was doing the budget summary document that we've sent out with Practice Web, it was just, you know, IHT bans frozen, CGT bans frozen, everything's bans frozen. I'm trying to remember, there was one where the banding was frozen, but that actually meant it became more generous. I can't remember which one that was, but yeah. I'm lazy as a journalist. I actually kind of secretly liked the budget because the less they announce, the better. I kind of really get out of my depth when I have to deal with the tax technicalities. So
exactly.
Yeah. So I was really happy.
The announcement of the marginal corporation tax returning did have some of the tax team shouting and tearing their hair out, because everything else, as you say, is either simplified or has stayed the same, which is much appreciated.
Yes. Well, let's look at the corporation tax moment. And so from the 1st of April 2023, corporation tax will increase to 25%, but companies with profits of up to £50,000 will pay tax at 19%, and the tapered rate will apply to profits up to £250,000. And John, this was another one which caused tax editor Rebecca Cave to shake her head at the prospect of all these different figures.
Yes, she was spitting. I think she used the adjective fluffing, another fluffing taper is how she phrased it, I believe. But it was less a taper than the sort of the differential rates. And she was pointing out to us, or explained to us sort of after the day, you know, in a sort of the post-mortem, that it left all the people with the small one-person director companies, just the all those calculations for extraction just completely complicated. You know, so you had to play around, you know, you have to work out which band there. And almost she sort of said it became a chicken and egg thing as well. So it just introduced needless complexity. Maybe, you know, it's bringing some relief to the SMEs, but at some cost to their preparers and tax advisors. So yeah, more complexity. You know, I think it was in a different context talking about the super deduction, which again, some of our cynical members, any answers just thought, oh, it's just more capital allowances. But Red 5 in the thread on that was an impressive, said, oh, the OTS must be turning in their grave.
Exactly. But for those of us that remember marginal corporation tax rates, you know, going back into the, when did I start? Back in the 80s. It's like, oh, we're just going back to how it always was. The idea of a flat rate corporation tax is relatively new for those of us that have been in the profession a while. I think what was more puzzling for me was what the political logic was of announcing a corporation tax increase. I wasn't sure what the message was that he was sending or what he was trying to achieve. And at the same time, there seemed to be plenty of commentators and journalists saying, well, of course, he's saying this now, but it probably won't happen. So in that light, you know, what was the point of saying it? There seems every possibility that when we get to 2023, he'll go, no, we'll just stay as we were. So, you know, any ideas what the message was he was trying to send? Because it certainly beats me.
I guess it's be that we acknowledge that this largesse needs to be paid for in some way, and we shall make the companies that have made good profits, you know, carry their share of the burden. I'm far be it from me to try and insert myself into the minds of the Chancellor of the Exchequer and his political messengers, but I think that's it. And there is a bit of a contrast because I think the fiscal drag on all the frozen tax bans, you know, will bring some of the little people in the middle bracket taxpayers, you know, sort of impose a heavier burden on them. Mm. So it's mixed messages, but I think that spreading the load and begin at least signaling, yeah, it's all about signaling this government, isn't it? But signaling that
exactly
the debts will need to be covered some way. Unless, of course, the pre-announcement is start repatriating your profits now to your offshore offshore exactly. Low tax jurisdictions.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Book your plot in your local free port now.
Well, it does make 2023 a date to circle in everyone's diaries, and maybe a date which many are going to be dreading, with everything else that's going to be happening around that time as well. So one to look out for. Another thing which did catch our interest was the different VAT rates which we're going to be experiencing. One which Neil Warren was reminiscing as well back to the last time when VAT was at 12.5%. Nigel, any thoughts about these VAT, these different stages of VAT?
Well, all I can say is thank goodness for computer software, because keeping track of which rate you're meant to apply when is going to start to become a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? Again, you know, we have had multiple VAT rates before, so it's not the end of the world, and I'm not, you know, getting too hysterical about it. You know, because we have to file VAT returns online anyway, most of it is being done through software, but it's just an extra complication, isn't it? And, you know, when at a time when we're trying to move towards tax simplification, the government is obviously trying to hold this tension between trying to keep the tax system simple and trying to support businesses. And certainly as far as a support measure is concerned for the hospitality trade, leisure, you know, it is a fantastic announcement. So, yeah, I'm certainly more than happy to cope with the extra complication just for the benefit that people are going to experience.
But it just brings this whole retro feel back, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Two or three times. You know, is it a 70s revival or is it 80s revival or 90s revival? You know, whatever it is, we are sort of taking tax back to the old days. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of civil servants at the Treasury who are, yeah, you know, digging into their old files like I sometimes do and dusting off, you know, policies and proposals from times gone by, now that all the decision makers may have forgotten them, and just putting them back on the table.
Exactly. I mean, I think from my point of view, at least they've come up with sensible round numbers. You know, the prospect of VAT ever being a prime number fills me with horror. These are at least numbers I can do in my head. 19% corporation tax is a struggle. I just have to think, well, basically it's 20% less a bit. But yeah, you've got to have sensible VAT rates, haven't you?
Those are pretty much the main headlines, Nigel. Any other sort of surprises that jumped at you, or any sort of gimmicks which were announced by the Chancellor which caught your eye?
Well, I think the super deduction for capital allowances was the one that got us all excited. I have to say that's come at a time when a lot of companies are thinking, you know, do we carry on furloughing our staff and making them redundant? They're not actually thinking about going out and spending a couple of million pounds on brand new equipment. But nonetheless, that does open up some interesting tax planning opportunities, especially for groups of companies where the 100% annual investment allowance has to be spread across a number of companies. The super deduction is going to be available to all of them. So they could ramp up their capital expenditure quite significantly in the next few years, which is great because they're all going to be able to go out and import German equipment, which will create all sorts of interesting import issues that we have yet to experience.
John, anything from the budget which really caught your eye that was hiding the undergrowth?
I guess the super, just on the super deduction, did trigger a memory of a thread I read from probably again Stepjohan and other accounting web members. It's fascinating. I think it's something all the people involved, the tax practitioners, do is they're really good at deconstructing what detail is provided. So within hours or two, accounting web members had picked this up and were chewing it over in their sort of what was that all about budget assessment, and they are great at sort of deconstructing the details of, say, the marginal rate for corporation tax they did, but also they were working out the sort of, you know, the how they thought the super deduction would work. One of them also did point out there were some changes around R&D credits, the definitions, I think it was, but there was a bit of a cynical aside someone said about they thought that would make, you know, it's just going to make it easier to make dodgy claims. And again, that's a thread I skim. So no huge policy issues. And I think the accounting web members, when they were talking about sort of the detail, I think one of them actually said, I think it was, I really should know this, but is that, they thought that ministers must get a bit tired of the way all the measures are kind of digested and deconstructed by the next morning. So could that have been their motive for bumping the legislation's always been sort of 8-10 days later. So we got that's due out before this podcast will hit the streets, but it's this 23rd of March consultation day. So, you know, let's keep, you know, and the thing is, there's some of the support scheme details, you know, they dribble out weeks later before you actually get the detail. But is this a deliberate political PR policy tactic to sort of prevent the pastygate type embarrassments immediately after? Which kind of moves us on to the whole idea of the attenuated, the never-ending budget cycle, which we seem to have moved into.
Yes, and let's not forget that a lot of these budget announcements, and I keep mentioning freeports because I find them a bit fascinating, even though we don't have one on our doorstep, there's going to be a lot of enabling legislation in the Finance Act, and then a lot of these developments are just going to sort of dribble out under the radar, maybe, or just be developed on the hoof by civil servants. There's a lot of this stuff is going to come out without a lot of parliamentary scrutiny, which is going to be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a trend we've seen through the Making Tax Digital process, for example, where...
Yeah, definitely.
But I suppose, you know, this is maybe, Richard, I hope I'm not preempting your big question, but, you know, is the budget ritual losing its great theatrical power, and are we moving to a sort of continuous policy development process? I mean, there's a lot of practitioners and experts who actually wanted that. So that you know, if we get a bunch of consultations at March, however carefully the government listens, at least there is a discussion for 6 months, you know, 6 months to discuss them, and then the government, you know, may tell us what they intend to do in November, and you've got another period, but you know, you may get a good period before the draft legislation comes. So theoretically, that gives the profession and the politicians more time to scrutinize what's being proposed and to iron out any loopholes or kinks. You know, that's the grand theory. Whether it will work that way in the leak-tastic world that we exist, I'm not sure.
I think we can but hope. But yes, in answer to the question that you haven't quite asked, yes, I think we are going rapidly towards an ongoing budgetary process. You know, I'm old enough to remember when school and university was all based around end-of-term exams, and then the next generation are familiar with continuous assessment and continuous examination. And I think the budget process appears to have gone the same way, doesn't it? You know, I grew up on March budgets and nothing really happening in between. And these days it is just continuous. Well, I hesitate to say continuous improvement, but continuous change anyway, continuous change and tinkering with the system, underpinned by a whole load of misleading leaks and leaks of non-news. You know, I'm not expecting a fundamental change to capital gains tax, for example, but it's still being trailed, isn't it, in the press and by the government. So some things are going to happen between now and the autumn, but I'm not putting my money on any of them at the moment. I think it's too early to see quite which direction everything is going.
Yeah, the leaks really did annoy the Accountweb members early in the morning. Stepahan again said that he said the sole purpose seems to be to trumpet some popular announcement that's going to be made to garner positive press. Those of us in the industry know the devil is in the detail, and very much so about these leaks.
Exactly. I mean, the leak of the abolition of tax relief on pension contributions has become an annual affair. Strangely, that wasn't announced in the budget this year. And I was extremely disappointed to find that the announcement of the dual carriage weighing of the A303 didn't appear in the budget this year, because every year for about the last 10 years. But yeah, didn't quite make it in this year.
Yeah, Nigel, these budget traditions are falling by the wayside.
They are. It's a sad yeah. thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just to draw on your continuous assessment and the school education analogy, I mean, I think a lot of this is probably we're dealing in a social media, and we can't mention that word without mentioning the Chancellor, but this is the rolling 24-hour news agenda. So I think the budget's being shaped to feed that appetite as well. So it's being doled out in smaller and smaller continuous doses. And maybe one of the sad things is to do my own bit of nostalgia is because things got so intractable and silly in the 90s that you know, this is why we theoretically have an Office of Tax Simplification. But it seems like that instinct, that dynamic of actually even being shown to just attempt to simplify, you know, has been kicked. You know, we have been through a sort of unprecedented economic and business survival crisis, yes, but you know, through that crisis, through all the responses, sort of that principle has been kicked to the sidelines, and that's a bit of a pity.
Yeah, exactly. I think to have an Office of Tax Simplification coexisting with an expansion of IR35 just tells you all you need to know about the tax system.
Yeah, and of course that's maybe we will get a consultation though, Nigel, the famous leveling up of the regimes for those who are self-employed and those who are employed. You know, that's what we were all dreaming of, you know.
Exactly, yeah, and likewise a leveling up of tax on income and capital gains.
Yep.
Will be easy to do. And while we're at it, we could combine income tax and national insurance and put most accountants out of business, I would think.
So is that you're running for the tax simplification party in North Somerset then?
Or... Exactly, that's right. Yeah, you can see where we're going with this.
Yeah.
I guess to round things up, Nigel, we said at the start that, you know, you're fully expecting the budget to come November.
I'm expecting another budget in the autumn. I think there's got to be. This is just a holding position until we see how the pandemic pans out.
Yeah, I'm not sure they've set a date, Richard, but that was very overtly framed when this idea of the 23rd of March consultation drop, the sort of publication of all the documents. Then I think the Treasury was very clear. The intention was to, you know, let the support measures play out, see how the economy fares, and then kind of reintroduce the more tricky stuff from next November. You know, just assess the situation first before advancing down any too thick, tricky paths.
Well, let's do this all again then in November. Any final predictions then? What could be coming? Which have been deferred for that budget, Nigel? Any want to place your bets now with so many months to go?
I think all I would say is that there is definitely light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm not sure whether it's an oncoming train or actually sunshine. We wait and see.
John, how about yourself?
A bit like the Chancellor, we're just going to be tinkering away at our systems to see if we can just sharpen it up and actually try and condense. It's such a challenge with the process, whether it's a big theatrical Shazam or a little drip, drip, drip of things, but just trying to distill it into the stuff that actually matters to businesses and their advisors. Nothing has simplified or improved about tackling that challenge, but we've got 6 months to try and make it a little bit better next time, Richard.
That's it. We're fixed the roof whilst the sun is shining, eh? As a Chancellor said once.
More nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic image to end on.
Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Nigel. Thanks, John. And we'll see everyone, as always, on accountweb.co.uk. So until next time, bye for now.